Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this awesome opportunity to come together to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for this time and the word that's going to go forth, that it will be done decently and in order, according to your word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would state those things that will assist us to grow from faith to faith. Satan, we put you on notice right now that you're defeated and under my feet. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we glorify you, we give you praise, and thanksgiving for this day and all that will be accomplished in that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, let's continue with our study entitled The Battle in Your Mind, Keeping Sexually Pure. Last week we started on principle number 3, which is ignorance and victory cannot cohabitate. Again, ignorance and victory cannot cohabitate. This is a warning, listeners. Satan wants God's people ignorant of their legal rights in Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that Satan is defeated and under our feet. But if we do not study God's word so we can find out what Jesus has done for us, we will not operate in his authority, power, and dominion, which was provided for us through the gift of salvation. This is the assignment that God has given me and this ministry, and that is to teach his word with simplicity so God's people can be successful in life. Amen. Now, listener, we started this teaching on July 4th. So if you have missed any of the live airings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous radio programs now archived under our radio broadcast page. We want you to have the complete information on this important study, so please visit us there. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. This is where we left off last week, and we're going to reread this scripture, and then I want to highlight a couple of items in that scripture. I will be quoting from the Living Bible unless otherwise stated. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Therefore, I will send you into exile far away because you neither know or care that I have done so much for you. Your great and honored men will starve, and the common people will die of thirst." Now, notice that the first part of that scripture talks about what is going to happen because you neither know or care about what the Heavenly Father has done for you. Our job, again, is to study God's word to find out what he has done and then to apply that word to our lives so we can live successfully and not be those people that are beat down, broke down as a result of ignorance of God's word. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just one verse, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. This time I will be reading out of the New King James Bible. It says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Notice that it's Satan who is taking advantage of us because of our ignorance. So if we are not ignorant of his devices, he cannot deceive us. All right. Now, the important part is we are not ignorant of his devices. So how are we not ignorant? Well, we are not ignorant because the Bible clearly tells us that Satan's only purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible tells us that he is a liar and the father of lies. The Bible tells us that he deceives the whole world. This is one bad dude, and there is nothing good in his game. So don't let him trick you into his evil ways, because the end result is negative. It is not for our benefit. It says, because the wages of sin is death, but life in Jesus is one of abundant prosperity and peace. And based on my own experience, family, in Jesus there is no better life. His promises are real and glorious. Thank you, Jesus. So I want, this ministry wants, the very best for God's people. And that's why we encourage you, the listener, the student of the Word of God, to apply that word to your life and see those blessings manifest individually, not just for you, but your family and your loved ones, community, this country. Amen. All right, let's continue with our scriptures. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. This passage really summarizes all that we've been talking about. Ignorance and victory cannot cohabitate. So we must find out what the Word of God says, and then we must apply the Word so that we can be the benefactor of God's goodness through Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage, many of you have read it, I'm sure, is Jesus is being tempted by Satan. Jesus is being tempted by Satan. But as we go through the scriptures, you're going to find out the same tactic that he used against Jesus, he uses against every Christian. He has no new game. He's been successful with the old game. So the way he applies his evil deeds is in the same manner. So this is why we don't have to be ignorant of his devices, because the scriptures tell us clearly how he's going to come against us, but more importantly, how we come against him to keep those evil assignments null and void in our lives. All right, let's start. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River, being urged by the Spirit out into the barren wastelands of Judah, where Satan tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time and was very hungry. Satan said, "If you are God's son, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." Verse number 4. But Jesus replied, "It is written in the scriptures, other things in life are much more important than bread." Then Satan took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil told him, "I will give you all these splendid kingdoms and their glory, for they are mine to give to anyone I wish, if you will only get down on your knees and worship me." Verse number 8. Jesus replied, "We must worship God and him alone. So it is written in the scriptures. Then Satan took him to Jerusalem, to a high roof of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say that God will send his angels to guard you and to keep you from crushing to the pavement below." Jesus replied, "The scriptures also say, do not put the Lord your God to a foolish test." Last scripture, verse number 13. When the devil had ended all the temptations, he left Jesus for a while and went away. Wow. All right. I want to go back into this passage, and I want to highlight some very important points that we as Christians might need to recognize and then to utilize in combating those temptations that Satan brings across every individual. We are no exception. He does. If he tempted Jesus, you know he's going to come against us with temptation. So let's start at verse number 1 where it says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." All right. I have said this on many occasions, but I want to say it right now because it's being pointed out in this verse. We, after receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, I'm talking about us Christians who have called on the name of Jesus, the next step after receiving Christ as our Savior and Lord is getting filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power, the wisdom, the understanding of the Scriptures so that we can rightly divide and then apply them to our life. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and we should be too. A, number one. Let's drop down to verse number 3, because this is where we begin to see the tactics, the devices that Satan uses against mankind, and we see it being used here on Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Verse number 3 says, "Satan said, if you are God's son." Now, Satan was at that place tempting Jesus because he was the Son of God. There was no question in Satan's mind. He was trying to challenge Jesus to get him to doubt and unbelief about his position with the Heavenly Father. That's how he comes against us individually as Christians. He comes with a doubt. He says, well, if you're really a Christian, you should be doing this, or you should not be doing that. He is challenging us in our position in Jesus Christ. Now, he knows very well that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, and you are the child of the Most High God in Jesus. So when he comes against you with a doubt and unbelief about your position in Christ, he is using that same tactic that he used on Jesus the Christ. Again, verse 3 says, "Satan said, if you are God's son, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." He's trying to get Jesus to start playing his game, his way. But notice what verse 4 says when Jesus replied. He didn't even try to say, listen, I know I'm the Son of God. Even he didn't argue that point. He didn't try to put himself in a position where he was defending his position in the Heavenly Father. No, he immediately spoke the word over the situation. Family, this is something that we're going to have to learn to do. This is a result of you studying God's word and knowing what God's word says regarding any situation you are going through. So you're going to have to learn what the word says regarding poverty. You're going to have to learn what the Word of God has to say regarding sickness, disease. You're going to have to learn what it says about having a sound mind. These are the things that we deal on a daily basis here on the earth realm. And when Satan comes to attack, he's going to try to give you doubt and unbelief regarding your position. So you're going to have to know what to say when that position starts, when that position is challenged, rather. You're going to need to say what God says over that situation. That is the key in this passage, is speaking God's word over whatever Satan brings across your path. So in verse 4, number 4, again, says, "Jesus replied, it is written in the Scriptures, other things in life are much more important than bread." Let's drop down to verse number 6. Number 6, the key item there I want to highlight is, let's read into it. It says, "And the devil told him," this is Satan speaking to Jesus, "I will give you all these splendid kingdoms and their glory, for they are mine to give to anyone I wish." I want to highlight that right now. Notice that Jesus did not challenge that comment, that claim that he owned these splendid kingdoms. Because remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned, he gave up his authority, right, and dominion over what God had given him to Satan by sinning against God. As soon as he ate of that fruit, he turned over his rights, dominion, and power over to Satan. He fell for the deception. And as a result, every man, woman, and child born as a result afterwards was in sin. So, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that Adam had the right to give away his kingdom to Satan. So he didn't even challenge or correct Satan with regards to that. But what he did is he spoke the word again. Let's go to verse number 8. It says, so it is written in the scriptures. He said, Jesus replied, we must worship God and him alone. It is written in the scriptures. That's what we do, family. Every time Satan comes against our family, our friends, our job, whatever it is, then you're going to have to say, this is what God says about this situation. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. I am blessed going in and blessed coming out in the name of Jesus. See, you're going to have to speak to the circumstance and defeat Satan and his game. All right, let's go on to verse number 9. It says, then Satan took him to Jerusalem to a high roof of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Now listen here. This is Satan quoting scripture because he goes on to say, for the scriptures say that God will send his angels to guard you and to keep you from crashing to the pavement below. All right. See, now he will try to change his tactic against you. Well, didn't God say that he would take care of you if you went out, that he would forgive you if you sinned? See, he was trying to get you to do what he wants you to do because he knows the moment that you open up that door, he is able to come in legally to attack. So he will try to use scripture and verse against us so that he can fall for his deception. But you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. You're going to have to know what the Word of God says, and then you're going to have to not try to tempt God. You know, for years, when I was living in California, I was one of the chaplains at one of the juvenile facilities there at in California, and I would minister to the young people about three times a week. And I remember often when I was at those facilities sharing about the good news of Jesus Christ, that I would ask the children, the young people there, how many of you who are in this facility right now, whatever you were doing, you don't have to tell me what you did, just think in your own mind what you were up to when you were caught and brought it to this facility for breaking whatever law you were breaking. Okay, they would think, and then I say, now, answer for yourself this question and only raise your hand. I don't need you to tell me what you did. I would tell them, I said, now how many of you who were involved in something illegal, how many of you heard a still small voice say, do not do that inside you? I would say 90% of the time, 95% of the time, the young people would raise their hand. They heard that still small voice. And then I would ask the question, well, who was that trying to keep you from doing wrong? And somebody or many of them would say, God. See, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that wants to protect us, that wants to keep us safe. And when we are involved in something that is sinful, we get a check in our spirit to say, don't get involved in that. Don't do that. But if we choose to, we can say no to God and go on in sin. Now, as a result of that, there are consequences, and the consequences can be detrimental in some cases. So we want to make sure that we're not testing God. You know, another thing that Satan likes to use is, well, God is forgiving. You know, you can do this today because tomorrow you can go to church and ask God for forgiveness. No, don't play that game because he's trying to lure you into his evil nest to kill you graveyard dead. So, family, check ourselves out. Make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do and stay away from the deception, those devices that Satan uses to snare us. All right, let's go on to verse number 12. Jesus replied, "The scriptures also say." See, now once Satan tried to misuse the scripture, Jesus replied with, "The scriptures also say, do not put the Lord your God to a foolish test." That's what we're doing when we say, well, God will forgive me. I'm going to lay down in bed with this person today, and tomorrow when I go to church, I'm going to ask God to forgive me for fornicating, adultery, or whatever else that you're up to in sin, and he will forgive me. And yes, he will forgive you, praise the Lord, because he's merciful, he's long-suffering, he's patient, he's kind. But what you've done is you've opened up a door for Satan to come into your life. It may be a situation where that individual that you are laying in bed with and having sex out of wedlock has AIDS or has some other kind of venereal disease or is up to no good and, you know, he's there to attack you or even try to kill you. You know, it's all kinds of mess out there. So don't put yourself in that position where Satan can use that moment of lust, that moment of defeat in him to take you out. Don't do that, family. Stay strong. Stay in the Word. Always mindful that God wants the best for us. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to live lives of victorious, prosperous living. And that's a result of being obedient to his Word. So then in verse 13, he closes out. It says, "When the devil had ended all the temptations, he left Jesus for a while and went away." And that's exactly what he's going to do for us. He'll leave for a while. You know, you're going to speak the word, and he's going to flee. But he's going to, you know, come up with some new game. And it's really not new, same old evil devices. But he's going to try and put it a different color or a different style so that he can attract your attention. He said, it says in Scripture number 13, he left Jesus for a while. We know that he's going to return, but the same way that he's tenacious and unrelenting, that's the same way we as Christians have to be about the Word of God. We have to be ready at any moment to speak the Word over whatever's going on in our lives so that Satan can flee. Here are some key points to summarize what we just read. Satan can quote Scripture. And he will from time to time, but he does not know the spiritual meaning. See, that's our job, is not only to be able to quote Scripture, but to know what it means and how it applies to us as Christians. And then number two, Satan cannot argue with God's Word. No, there is no defense for him regarding God's Word, so he must flee. As soon as you speak God's word with the authority, dominion, and power that Jesus gave you, he has to flee, and he will, in the name of Jesus. All right, family, listener, before moving on to our next principle, I want to summarize principle number three. Again, ignorance of God's word will not bring you victory in life. Instead, your ignorance will give Satan a door to enter into your life and to destroy you. He will steal your finances, health, peace, and joy. He will keep you looking at the circumstances of life until you die from worry, stress, and anxiety. But when you have studied God's Word and found out who you really are in Christ, you will live above the circumstances of life. You will live in the victory that God has provided for you in Jesus. Then James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 will make perfect sense because you will be operating in God's joy and peace when the trials, tests, and temptations come, knowing you have the way of escape in Jesus. Amen. All right, let's continue now with principle number 4. Principle number 4 is a look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. I'm going to repeat that. Principle number 4 is a look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. I especially want our young people to pay close attention to this principle. So so that they do not make the same mistakes we did and get caught up with ungodly living. Young people, if you haven't already started, start today making a habit of doing right and not wrong, because what you do today will affect your future. For my mature listeners, please, God loves you, so don't fall into condemnation. Our Heavenly Father has given all of us, has forgiven all of us of our sins in Jesus. But we must do a self-examination. Oh, family, I'm sorry. I am out of time. But please return next Wednesday at 9:30 so we can continue our study on the battle in your mind.
Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.